There is nothing worse than untapped potential. If you know that you're made for more, this is the place. I know that every successful person I've ever met has one thing in common. They do not let themselves fall victim to their circumstances. They figure out a way to rise above it. So join me on this journey where I help you to be better, do better, and have better in life and in business. If you're feeling stuck and you're needing some practical tools, some hope to get you to that better life, this is definitely the place for you. Everyone, and welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. I am your host, Lachelle Weamy, and today I have a chance to talk to my new friend, Ruth Busis. You guys, she is the author of Awaken Love, and she is an incredible woman who has made me just really, really, truly reconnect with my husband in ways that I didn't even know was possible, all because she was obedient and followed where God was leading her. So Ruth, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm so excited for our conversation.
Yeah, it's great to be here. I'm excited to just see where we go today.
Me too. You know, it's so funny. We just prayed before we started here, and I just know, you guys, that you're going to hear exactly what it is that you're supposed to hear after our conversation. But I just have to give you a little backstory in this. So many of my podcast guests are people who I've connected from the internet here and there, but Ruth, it's a different story. So I literally had the most amazing weekend away with one of my very, very good friends. And we went to talk about business, and we went to talk about all the ways that we can strategize to get our, you know, 2022 kind of up and rolling. And what was so fascinating is that God showed up in a completely different way. So our conversation went from business to Tiff saying, Lachelle, you need to take this Bible study and I will be happy to lead it. And you guys, our Bible study was all about intimacy, with our husbands in God's, you know, eyes. And it was exactly what I needed, Ruth. And so the fact that I took this course with her, I read the book, fell in love with all the content, and I get to, you know, literally sit here with you right now is surreal to me. So thank you so much for everything that you've done. And I'm excited for everybody to get to know you as well.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about Awaken Love and your course and your Bible studies and all the things that you're doing. Give us a snapshot from your perspective.
Yeah, Awaken Love really started with my own transformation. And I took a study on Song of Songs. We were studying it as an allegory of God's love for us. And it just rocked my world in so many ways and changed my relationship with Jesus. It went from this head knowledge to this heart knowledge, heart relationship, right? This love affair with Jesus, worship changed. That whole component of my life changed, but at the same time, I found myself yearning for more intimacy with my husband. And somehow intuitively, I knew that sex was part of what I wanted, was a better sex life. And it wasn't that sex had been bad, but you know, most of us don't grow up talking about sex. Right. And we might have it with our husband. We might figure out what works, but we're not really comfortable with it. We're not really comfortable expressing ourselves through it or letting our husband express themselves, or even, I don't know, sometimes it can feel like a way to satisfy physical longings and not necessarily a way to deeply connect and know each other.
Right.
And so I went on a one-year journey of trying to figure out how to create more intimacy in my marriage. Along the way, I dealt with sexual baggage and resentment that I had, childhood play, things that had filled me with shame, but also even just understanding more about my body and how women's bodies work, creating games to help us communicate with each other and just have be more playful and fun during times of connection, but also really understanding what is God's intent for sex. Because we take this thing that, and we make it so separate from our spirituality.
Right.
And the truth is that God not only created it, he really has a plan for it. And it is a powerful way to connect that sometimes I think we dismiss as just something that's for our husbands, or that it's something that's just physical, or it's the icing on the top of the cake when everything is good. And the truth is that it's a powerful way to help us as a marriage make it through a very hard life, you know? in hard situations.
Do that extra, you've said connection a couple times, and that's exactly how I would describe it too. It's just this extra glue that allows mm-hmm. us to stay with each other and to be with one another in a way that it's hard to do it in other ways. And you mentioned a little bit about how you had taken some time and learned about the Song of Songs, and you really thought that you wanted more intimacy with your own husband. Tell me a little bit about that. Paint us a picture of what it was like kind of before, and then as you were learning all these tools that you developed and how your relationship started to change.
Yeah, my husband and I are a couple of engineers. That's what our schooling is in, and we get along pretty well. We work well. We remodel houses, you know, do house projects, all of those kinds of things. We raised four daughters together and through it got along pretty well. But I think it was more a safe relationship than an intimate relationship. We didn't really address hard things. We would just kind of pass through them, get through them, and move on. Yeah. And, you know, I think for me, it's been kind of a big journey of learning how to feel more.
Yes, yes.
Because along with greater connection also becomes greater, I don't know, hard things, right? And I think I probably cried more in that year than I had in the previous 25.
Yeah.
Because I was always just about getting things done and not even necessarily even feeling those hard things sometimes, or maybe feeling those highs sometimes.
Right. I think that's what sometimes we don't even realize it, but we are. The best way for me to describe how I'm feeling with this, it might be different for everyone else, but this kind of lukewarm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not bad, but it's not good. It's right. And I think that sometimes we just expect that that's the way that it's supposed to be. Like, I've been with my husband since I was 17 years old, so I'm a much different person than I was back then. And so is he. And so how do we keep that space going where we love and have that connection with one another? Because it does take work. And I think that sometimes you just expect it to just, you know, be this safe, lukewarm space when really sends us to have this intensity of our relationship, and intimacy with one another is one way that he allows that to be expressed. And I never realized it.
Yeah. And I kind of love that God's word really kind of gives us the answer to that. I mean, it uses the Hebrew word yada, which is interchanged for the word knowing, right? For sex. And to me, that is the big picture answer of, okay, how do we create marriages and sex lives that don't get boring, that are filled with passion? And we do it by having the courage to actually let ourselves be known and to actually know our spouse, rather than, you know, saying, no, it's only okay to be a certain way or to express yourself a certain way, and you need to fit into what works for me.
Right. You know, I think that, you know, coming back to why I even took this Bible study to begin with and why I got the book is because this is the thing, you guys, I want you to hear me. Sometimes we don't know what we don't know. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you guys might be capturing from me, if you've been listening a lot, is that I'm a very driven, ambitious person. And I have some big goals that God has put on my heart. And I just can't wait to see what he's going to do with me and do with, you know, all the people that I'm helping. It's so good. It'd be so cool. My husband, my sweet, sweet husband, is a very, very stable, predictable, don't rock the boat kind of guy. And it's funny because God did that on purpose. He put us together to balance each other out. So in the DISC world, the DISC assessment world, I'm an I and he's an S. So he's very stable. And I'm like the let's do it kind of person, right? And so one of the things that I recognized, though, is that I didn't think that I could get to the really, really true obedient part of where God was leading me without my partner. Without my partner, like the two of us, what we could do together would be unstoppable. And I never really realized how that intimacy and improving that intimacy part could bring us together in a way that allowed me that tool without even realizing it to propel me into what my purpose is. Because now I have somebody that feels a connection to me. And it's like, okay, let's do this. And it came organically because of that connection. And so that's why my sweet, wise friend Tiffany said, you need to take this, because I think this might be a missing piece in your business plan, is really just locking arms with your partner in life and the two of you and what you can accomplish together. And I had never really thought about it that way. And, you know, discovered along the way that I had so much programming that was placed in my upbringing in the church. I had so many programs that were developed just from the lack of communication. We didn't talk about it at home or at school or at church. And so in my subconscious, it was bad. And there was lots of things that played out with that. And so you'd think that somebody who'd been with their husband since they were 17 years old would have kind of gotten through all of that. But what was so interesting is that I felt like literally like in my infancy, when it came to the true connection that I feel God is really calling us for.
Yeah. So, you know, as I went through my journey and then eventually I just felt like I need to share this with other people. And it took a lot of convincing from God, because I am not a speaker. I'm not a teacher. And to teach on a subject about like sex, like who am I to speak on this? And so really out of obedience, I invited that first group of friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been such a journey of walking alongside of women as they move towards healing and freedom and just embracing this gift that God has given us. And there are few women that come to the table without things that are holding them back. And it can be as simple as, you know, silence around sex. And then it can be huge things too. And I've heard all kinds of things. And it's interesting that even really small things can have such a profound impact on us.
And that's one of the things that I found, you know, when I read the book, there were parts in it that I'm like, how did she know what I was thinking? Like, it's so how God gave you these downloads to really touch people in where we needed to be touched in our hearts. And what was really cool is that you designed this to be a study for other women to get together and walk through this journey alone. Because I'll be honest with you guys, like, this is me being really vulnerable with everybody, but as much as I can, you know, get on stages and speak, and I can get on a podcast for the last several years and do this, even just saying the word sex, even with my husband, who I've been together with for 25 years, made me blush and get like uncomfortable. You've noticed that was the first time I've said that word this entire time. I use intimacy because it's way easier for me, right? And so even just talking about it was difficult. And the ladies that I was with in this group really allowed me to open up and make me feel safe and made me feel like I'm not alone. And even though all of our stories were so different, commonalities in how we felt and the encouragement that people got from one another was so powerful that I believe with my whole heart that everyone that participated with me had a life-changing experience. And so it's really fun. What has been your experience with, you know, facilitating these courses, and what have people told you that they've gotten out of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how that third week, when we really dig in and talk about the things that are holding us back, it's amazing to watch women minister to other women. And the way that women can gain courage when someone else shares. You know, one person will share one thing and all of a sudden another person's like, me too. You know, and it's all different things that hold women back. Sometimes it's just lack of education. Sometimes it's what some kid on the playground said about their body. Sometimes it's, you know, not being able to forgive themselves for the things and the choices that they made. And this is an area where the church needs to talk more about the redeeming love and healing that God provides, even in the area of sexuality. Somehow we pick up this idea that if we make wrong choices or mistakes or something happens to us in the area of sexuality, that we're ruined and that God cannot change those things and that we're going to be punished for the rest of our lives, or we don't deserve to have an intimate marriage. And that's really a lie.
Yeah.
That Satan is using to hold us back. The truth is that God wants us to be whole.
Yeah.
And a big part of that, like you said, is opening up conversation with other women.
Yeah.
let other women hear your stories and to have them minister to you and speak truth over you and to not feel alone in what you're going and realize you're not all alone. I had somebody just email me recently and, you know, she's been married 10 years. The first 5 years, things were really hard and tricky for her, and she just didn't have good ideas about sex. The next 5 years, I think because things had been so tricky for her, that anxiety had rubbed off onto her husband, and now he's struggling. And 10 years, I think, of feeling completely alone. Yeah. And she's reaching out for help. And that's a huge step of courage to reach out for help and say, no, I want this to be different. But I think it's pretty tough to experience transformation and change on your own. You need people to walk alongside of you.
Absolutely. And I want to go back to something that you had said that made me think of this. And it's really just identifying the truth, because the enemy can put lies in front of us that really do shift the way that we look at things. That's not how God intended for us to look at it. So, what are some of the truths the two that I specifically think of when I've read the book and gone through this is just really reading the Song of Songs and really just identifying what that is. So tell us a little bit about your perspective on that.
Yeah. So Song of Songs is this love poetry. It's a book in the Bible and it's filled with love poetry between a husband and a wife. And they're pretty, you know, it's interesting how it's written, because kids can read it and not know what it's about. But women in class read it and they're like, is the Bible really talking about this? Because it's pretty spicy, pretty detailed, pretty erotic. And I say, yeah, like if your mind's going there, that's because your mind is supposed to go there. God wants to communicate that he wants us to experience freedom. But in this book, it's different roles. This is man speaking and then the woman speaking, and they're back and forth. But when you notice how the differences between those roles, she speaks as much as he does. She expresses herself. She asks for what she wants. She plans this outdoor adventure in the vineyard to go have sex early in the morning, and is constantly asking him for what she wants. She's not this passive woman that's waiting for the guy to, you know, to take things into his own hands. And when you think about that culturally, right, that book was written probably 3,000 years ago, when culturally women didn't have equal roles at all. They were very much in the background. They were not equals. And yet in Song of Songs, she's portrayed as an equal in the marriage bed. And sex is not just this thing for the husband, and we need to be these passive women that just take care of the needs of their husbands. There's just so much freedom there.
And one thing that you said, freedom, and, you know, just knowing that a woman is designed to enjoy this. One of the things that stood out to me as well is your little anatomy lesson and some of the female anatomy and the purpose that it has or doesn't have anywhere else. And so tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, the woman's body is actually quite similar to the man's body. And that's one of the ways that I help men understand their wife's body. But our bodies, I mean, we have a clitoris that has absolutely no function except to give the wife pleasure. And, you know, I talked about how in Songs, they were equals as far as their roles and how much they initiated and things like that. Now, that doesn't mean that we are the same and that we are supposed to operate like a man. We are very, very different from men. But the thing is, because we are so different, we have things that we can help our husband understand. And he has things that he can help us understand. Like maybe as wives, we can help our husbands really understand what it means to just slow down and really connect during sex rather than just getting to the finish line. And maybe our husband can help us understand that, you know what, sometimes we need to just relax and stop worrying about getting the laundry done or the dishes downstairs and just go run away and escape together and have fun for a while. And maybe that's the best thing for us, right? And so we both have things to bring to the table,
right?
To help each other experience life together. And if we don't bring our whole selves, then not only are we missing out, but our husband is missing out because we have some things to teach our husbands.
And I just think that was so interesting is that, you know, God literally made this part of our body with no other function other than to cause pleasure for us. God did not make mistakes, you guys. Like, he would not have given us that body part. The clitoris is what we're talking about. Sense that if he didn't want that to be that function, he wouldn't have given it to us. So if he intended for you, to have this experience. And so to take that with some of the programming that I had, like that it's bad and that, you know, that God doesn't look at it that way, but why would he give us a body part for that reason if he didn't expect for us to use it with our husbands? And one of the other things that I really loved about a story that you told about a woman who had, I believe she had a miscarriage, if I recall, or she had lost a mother or something. There was a loss in her family she was in devastating grief.
I think she lost her sister, I believe.
Okay. And so tell us a little bit about that experience, because I think sometimes we can get frustrated and mad with our husbands.
Yeah. So God really created sex to also be a comfort to both husbands and wives. And there is a verse in the Bible where it talks about after David and Bathsheba have lost their child, David goes and makes love to his wife and he comforted her. And so sex is supposed to be this comfort for us. And that's sometimes in big things and sometimes in small things. And this woman had shared with me in class that after she lost her sister, she grieved. There was lots of crying and talking about it. And, you know, sometimes there are just no words to express what you're going through. And so she finally just asked her husband, can we have sad sex? Now, sad sex is a different kind of sex than maybe playful or hot sex. But it's a powerful way to connect and express yourself and express, no, like, we're in this together. Like, I'm here with you. Let me comfort you. Let me love you with my body. And so sex is not just having sex. It expresses who we are in those moments. It expresses if we allow it to, right? And it's a way to share ourselves with our spouse and to let them share themselves with us. Now, I think sex is not just supposed to be a comfort for the big things. I think it's supposed to be comfort even for the everyday things. And for me, that was not something that came easily or naturally. I mean, when I used to be stressed out, the last thing I wanted was sex. I needed to get my life in order. I needed to be relaxed enough. And then I could have sex with my husband. I don't want sex when I'm stressed out. Like, you got to be kidding. Or if we're in disagreement, like, you got to be kidding. This is a terrible time. Well, is it possible that those are the times when we most need to be together, you know, and that sex is in those moments that our husband maybe is trying to comfort us or to say, no, I feel like we're disconnected. I want to be one with you. I don't even know what to say to make this better, but I want to be one with you. And so sex is a way to unify as a husband and wife.
And you said something that I think a lot of us women can relate to, in the sense that we have a million things on our minds and it's really hard for us to relax that. And one of the analogies I've heard, it might have even been from you. So if I need to give you credit, please, I want, but that women's brains are like spaghetti noodles, like a big bowl of noodles, and that are all cooked and entangled. And the men's brains are like a waffle. They can just compartmentalize the things and set it aside and be present with us. But, you know, I'm thinking about the dinner and what I'm going to wear next week and booking the plane tickets and doing all the things. It's really hard for me to get things shut down. So what do you tell women who are also struggling from that same thing?
Yeah, like I said, I think this is an area that doesn't come naturally to us. And so the first thing to think about is your mindset or the meanings that you have around sex. If you think sex is a way that you need to care for your husband, that you're not going to think of sex as a comfort or as a way to be refreshed yourself. Or if you think sex is a way that your husband uses you, like same thing, right? So you need to think about what are the meanings that you're putting to sex. But then I think we need to acknowledge, you know, we are created different than men. And sex may not be our primary language. Talking, emotionally connecting with our husband may be our primary language. That doesn't mean that it's not a valid language and an important language to try to grow in. And so for me, I mean, there have been times when I've literally had to say, okay, God, like, I'm not there. Will you help me to get there? Now, sex won't fix everything for everybody. And I don't know whether your husband's trustworthy or not. Only you know that. But I think you need to look at who's my husband, like in his totality, the rest of the time. My husband is this kind, gentle man that I know would never, ever try to harm or use me. Well, if that is true, then he's that same man if he's in trying to initiate sex. He's not trying to harm or use me then either. Maybe I'm just misunderstanding what his intent is then because of ideas that I have around sex. But your husband may not be a kind, gentle, considerate man. Like, women are married to men that aren't.
Right.
And there are many reasons for that. But I just, like, I want to be clear. Sex is not going to fix every marriage. You need to think about, who is my husband? And is this an area where I can be open to him and I can trust that he is trying to love me with his body?
Yeah, that's so beautifully said, and what wise words. And what other, you know, thoughts would you love to share with people who are listening that really just need some guidance and some hope, maybe even some practical tools to get them from where they are to where they want to be in regards to this sharing intimacy, sex, feeling comfortable enough to have that layer of connection that they maybe don't already have?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things involved with the sex life. I talked about the mindset, like really paying attention to the meanings that you're playing through your head during sex. You brought up, like, we have to understand our bodies. If we don't understand how our bodies work, then our husbands may enjoy sex every time. And if you're not enjoying sex every time, then there's some knowledge out there for you that you need to understand, because our bodies are different than men's. Only 30% of women have an orgasm during intercourse on any kind of regular basis. And we have orgasms different ways, and they are no less valid or enjoyable or pleasurable or connecting. Okay. And so don't invalidate your experience. I think communication is such a big thing with sex. And I think one of the tips, especially that I would give women, I think that our husbands carry an enormous responsibility as far as making sex good for both of us. And that's a good thing that they care.
Yeah.
But they cannot make you believe that sex is important to you, or they can't make you understand your own body. They can't make you embrace the creative sensuality and sexuality that the creative ways and things that, like, they can't make us, they can't even help us do that sometimes, right? And so to let your husband off the hook and really take responsibility for yourself and embracing your own sexuality is really important. And that's something in class we talk about right from the first day, is it's like, take this class for you. You know, I'm thrilled if a woman's there because she wants to be a better wife to her husband. But ultimately, like, we need to be able to embrace it for ourselves. But also with that, like I said earlier, the husbands carry an enormous responsibility towards making sex good. It can be something that's very personal, can make them anxious when things aren't going well. It's easy to, I don't know, get scared by conversations about sex. And so I would encourage a few things that might be really practical in opening up the conversation of sex. The first thing is, rather than always bringing up sex when things don't go well, bringing it up when things are going well. Maybe say, hey, I want to read this book. I think it would be fun. Okay. read a book out loud to each other. You can ask each other about it. Like, hey, is that really how it is for you? Or does this sound like fun to you? Things like that. So get yourself on a neutral territory where it's not an issue. Mm-hmm. And there are apps for sex, Christian apps that are actually quite good. Ultimate Intimacy, Intimately Us are two of them and are really good. The thing about men is because they carry so much responsibility, it can be hard to take suggestions and they feel like they're failing if we're suggesting some things. And so games can be a great way to communicate with a husband about sex, to make it playful where nobody's doing anything right or wrong. It's just experimenting and just trying to discover new things is a great way to start talking more about sex.
Well, that's wonderful. Anything else that you haven't had a chance to touch on that you really want to make sure that you mention?
You know, I've talked a little bit about the husbands. I want to talk a little more about that. I think as wives sometimes, or maybe even as couples, we have this idea that if the wife just figures out sex, everything would be good because the husbands all know what they're doing. And that's not exactly right. I think that they have work to do too. And this idea that men know everything about sex, well, they might know everything about sex to make sex great for them, but they don't necessarily know everything about sex to make sex great for us. We are aroused by different things than they are. We like different things. Our bodies operate different ways. And so this idea that men don't need to work on anything, I think it's just a lie that's holding everybody back.
That's really like the definition of what this intimacy is about, right? Because when you can truly know what your partner loves and what makes them feel special and good, that's where that connection comes in, right? So if you're doing it just having the motions and, you know, whatever, like that's that disconnect that's could be improved upon. And so it's really just when you can make it as much about them as you do about yourself, there's this greater connection that happens that creates the intimacy that you might be missing. And so that's such a great point. And I hadn't even really thought about it until right now. So thank you for that. How can people utilize all of the beautiful lessons that God has put on your heart in order to help themselves? Tell us a little bit about your resources, your book, your courses, all the things.
Sure. My book is available on Amazon. It's called Awaken Love. It's a pretty fast, easy read book, but it's filled with everything from lies we believe to dealing with baggage to like the right down to the nitty gritty of how our bodies work and how to talk about sex. And so that's probably like the easiest entry point for learning about me. I have a blog with tons of very detailed articles. If you're interested in reading free information that way, there's lots of blog articles. And then I have classes online, and they are video classes that anybody can take. You can take them on your own. But most effective is to sign up yourself and then invite some friends to join you. And when you get together and have those conversations, you process things different ways. You hold each other accountable. You are an encouragement to each other as you continue because, you know, you can take the 6-week class, but life doesn't end there. And things will continue to come up and sex will be a challenge periodically. We have to be intentional and purposeful. And when we believe that is that important, we will prioritize and we will say, no, like I am going to fight for this.
You know, it's fun, Ruth, I don't think I told you this, but my word, I pick a word for the year at the beginning of each year. And my word for 2022 is fun.
Yeah.
Who would have ever thought, right?
Whoever thought sex would be part of the fun,
like level of the way that, and I never really connected it until even just now. So it's so great. We're going to make sure that you guys have access to Ruth's book and the how to sign up for courses. And if you are a leader in a church, I mean, there are several people who lead these as Bible studies for women in church. And I got to tell you, even those with littles, that is really hard to get away from. Your husbands will thank you for going through this, and they will offer to take the kids. I've seen it time and time again. No excuses, everybody, for what it is that God is calling you to do. So this is a really interesting, you know, lesson for your heart right now. I want you to listen to that.
I will say that I do have courses for the men too.
Oh, do you? I didn't even realize.
I do have courses for the husbands. Wow. They're online courses. I wholeheartedly believe, you know, if we only offer sex classes for wives, we're basically saying, wives, if you just figure this out, then everything will be good.
That's true.
Not true, right? And so I have courses for husbands that really, a big part of it is understanding their wife, to be honest. We're not easy to understand.
Wow, I love it so much. And we will make sure that you guys have access to all of that. Ruth, thank you so much for joining us today. And one of the things that I do for all of my podcast episodes is ask the guests to think of a question that you would love the audience to think about that's going to move them from where they are to where they want to be. What would you tell them to think about?
I think I would tell them to think about, what kind of marriage do you want? And what kind of marriage do you want 20 years from now? And how is that going to happen?
That is amazing. Thank you so much for that question. You guys, if you haven't already hit subscribe, make sure that you do that. Leave a review and let Ruth know exactly how much she impacted you. It's always fun to see us, you know, showing up in your stories. So make sure that you tag us and let us, you know, share you back. It's so much fun to connect with you guys here inside the community. And if you are feeling stuck and you are really just looking for a kind of big dive into how you can get unstuck, just shoot me a message or click on the link in the show notes that you and I can connect, and we'll just discover this as my gift to you for being a listener here. So let's make sure that we can continue, guys, to move forward and step into God's calling with all the tips and tools and tricks that we have that he's put in front of us. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Ruth, for showing up today, and I will see you guys all next week.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Untuck Podcast. I am so grateful to be on this journey with you. And don't forget to check out the show notes if you want to get into my private club, The Better Club, to be able to learn better ways to be better, do better, and have better. So until next time, keep showing up. Let's get unstuck together. Have a great day.